I last a while. You can conceive of the pleasure in my smile. You hold my hand, rough up my hair. It's lots of fun to have you there. Like to know what you've learned. The sky is blue and so is the sea. What is
Hi, my name is Will Wiesenfeld. I'm Matt, and you're listening to WMFO Bedford.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. It is 7 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. And you're tuned to WMFO Medford 91.5 on your FM dial. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com radio and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5 FM. .org. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown, on this Sunday, February the 21st, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday, not last Sunday. I chickened out last Sunday, -9 degrees. My wife said, "Are you crazy?" I said, "Yeah, a little bit. I was all ready to go." But anyway, she talked me into staying home. Yeah. And so I could not get out last Sunday. It was freezing. But anyway, we're here this Sunday. The temperature, I think, is about 41 degrees. We'll be bringing you that weather update just a little bit later on during the Sounds of Praise ministry, sometime around 5:30. Oh, probably around 6 o'clock or 6:30, somewhere around there. We'll give the weather update and let you know how you need to dress to get out today. Okay, we're talking sports here on the Brown Perspective on Sports. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, to do that, you have to give me a call. 617-627-3800 is the magic number. 617-627-3800. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, we certainly love to hear your perspective and what's going on out there in your neck of the woods. Give us a call, 617-627-3800. I'll be right back. Okay, just as I promised, we're back 12 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. Let's go right into the NBA scores from last night. The Bucks 117, the Hawks 109. That went into double overtime. The Heat 114 and the Wizards 94. The Knicks 103 and the Timberwolves 95. And the Warriors 115, they roll merrily along, defeating the Clippers 115 to 112. No changes in the standings. Cleveland is holding on to a 4-game lead over Toronto. Boston's 8.5 games back. Miami's 9 back. Did the Heat win? Yeah, Miami's 9 games back now. Out west, Golden State has a 4.5 game lead over San Antonio. Oklahoma City is 9.5 games back. And the Clippers have fallen. Can't get up. 14 games behind. And no one else is close. Okay, we'll talk more about the Celtics a little bit later on in the program. Let's go right now. Let's get all the scores out of the way. Let's go right now to the college football. College basketball. College football is over. You miss a Sunday and you're way out of the loop. Okay, college men's basketball. Villanova 77, Butler 67. The Butler didn't do it. Kansas 72, Kansas State 63. Oklahoma 76, West Virginia 62. North Carolina 96, Miami 71. Xavier 88, Georgetown 70. Iowa State 92, TCU 83. Upset. Texas A&M, who was unranked, defeated Kentucky, who was ranked number 14, 79-77. Texas A&M over Kentucky, 79-77. Another upset, St. Bonaventure, who was unranked, defeated Dayton, who was ranked number 15, 79-72. St. Bonnie's over Dayton, 79-72. Oregon, 91. Oregon State, 81. Another upset, Indiana, who was ranked number 22, defeated Purdue, ranked number 17, 77-73. Louisville, 71. Duke, 64. Georgia Tech, upset Notre Dame, who's ranked number 19. Georgia Tech was unranked. Georgia Tech defeated Notre Dame 63-62. Another upset, kind of upset, I guess. Baylor, ranked number 25, defeated Texas, ranked number 24, 78-64. So I guess they'll swap places. Okay, 4:15 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm Donnelly Brown. This is the Brown Perspective on sports. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved conversation, you just have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. The teams who have been ranked number one in college men's basketball, what did I do here? Teams have been ranked number one in college basketball. I guess I hit something here and something weird came up on my screen. But anyway, we got rid of it. What did I say? You say made me lose my train of thought, which is not difficult. And you get to be my age. Anyway, it's interesting to see how long Villanova stays in the first place. The teams who get into first place get snake bit and fall rapidly out of first place. Villanova's there. I think they've lost 3 games this year. So we'll see how long they can hold on to that spot. Haven't seen a whole ton of college basketball. But, you know, March Madness is right around the corner, so I'm going to have to improve my knowledge of what's going on out there in college rank. But, you know, there are a lot of the major powers who are no longer powers. Louisville has ruled themselves out of the playoffs because of shenanigans that were allegedly going on there and investigations taking place. So they're not going to go to the big tournament. Duke is way down in the rankings. Kentucky, ranked number 14, and they lost last night. So it's going to be interesting to see who does what to whom. Oklahoma was up there for a while. Like I said, they were in first place for a while, and they lost 2 or 3 games recently. They won last night, however. It's going to be interesting to see how far they can go, who goes where and what. No teams in New England. Harvard's not going to make it this year. The number one team in the Ivy League is Yale, I do believe. And they lost their first game this past week. So whether they get an invite or not, who knows. NIT, okay, that's not bad. Anyway, we'll see what happens. 418 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in the FM dial. We're on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting and iTunes.com, radio and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. On this Sunday, February the 21st, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday talking sports from about 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you just have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. Let's go to the ladies, college basketball, the top 25 teams, only four games played last night, yesterday, whenever. UConn, number one, keeps rolling right along, they pounded East Carolina 84-41. Yeah. Like I said, I thought that, who was it? North Carolina ladies had a chance to beat up on UConn this year because they had a lot of height. They lost last year in at UConn and did not play them in the playoffs. So the UConn ladies rolled right along. I think maybe the UConn team last year was probably a little better team than this year's team, had more height anyway. But the veterans, juniors and seniors, are carrying right along, and Brianna is just out of her mind. If you know who Brianna is, not my granddaughter. This is a different Brianna. Brianna Stewart, who's about 6'5". My granddaughter's about 5'3". Anyway, UConn ladies are doing it. They defeated East Carolina 84-41. Baylor 78, Iowa State 41. TCU, this is an upset. TCU, who's unranked, defeated Oklahoma State, who's ranked number 17, 79-65. And Oklahoma 72, Kansas 66. Those are the ladies, and these are ladies' scores I'm reading right now. Looking at a UConn game, Brianna Stewart, like I said, got 16 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. Tuck got 4 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Stewart and Tuck and Butler, I believe. Are the only people on the team with height. All the rest of them are guards. But they can play. Stewart's about 6'5". Tuck's about 6'4". Butler, I'm not really sure. Probably about 6'4", 6'5". But everybody else, you know, little people. But, you know, us little people, you know, we can play some ball. So I was going to say that rematch with Connecticut and North Carolina. Or is that North Carolina, I guess it is. South Carolina. I thought that was going to be, you know, a chance for someone to upset UConn. But UConn went down there, and it was close for a little while, but then they pulled away and maintained the lead. And South Carolina, I think has talent. I think it's a lack of coaching. The coach would get upset on the sideline, but, you know, getting upset at the players is not going to make them play better. you gotta practice some plays that will make them allow them to score and hopefully get back on defense and do some defensive things. But didn't happen in that game, and Connecticut won very easily. But in the last night's game, Stewart got 16 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. Tuck got 4 points, 2 rebounds, and 3 assists. Jefferson, 9 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists. Nurse got 8 points, 1 rebound, and 2 assists. Samuelson got 19 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. Butler got 11 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. Chong, 7 points, 2 rebounds, and 3 assists. Williams, 2 rebounds, 2 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. And Collier, off the bench, 8 points, 7 rebounds. And didn't pass the ball much. And she's a guard. But anyway, UConn ladies keep rolling right along. And we'll see if they can go undefeated this year as well. That'll be 3 years in a row undefeated? 3 championships also, possibly? Wow. Okay, it's 4:23 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5 FM.org. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown, and we're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until people say, well, where were you last Sunday? Well, because I was in my house keeping warm. -9 degrees. I was going to come, but like I said, my wife talked me out of it, so rather than argue with the little lady, I decided to stay warm. Yeah. Okay, 4:23 here on WMFO in Medford. We'll be right back, promise.
Thank you. Take care, Grandma.
Okay, baby. Don't forget to let me know the second you get there.
Yes, ma'am.
My grandson always tells me I worry about him too much. And of course I do. I'm his grandma. Well, I was worried sick when he came home from Afghanistan. He came back wounded. It wasn't a wound you could see. It was a wound inside, post-traumatic stress disorder. My T couldn't sleep. He was angry all the time. He felt like he didn't fit in anywhere. Then I heard about this group, Wounded Warrior Project, people helping warriors like T. So I figured who better to help my grandson than people who could understand what he'd been through. Now, I don't know what they do there, but my T is smiling again. So I figured they must be good people.
One out of every five warriors returned from the battlefield with post-traumatic stress disorder. Help support them at woundedwarriorproject.org.
And the message is brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:28 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, talking sports here every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in the conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. Coming back after the All-Star break, the Celtics got pounded out in Utah. I saw a little bit of the game. of course, I bleed green, so I heard someone say, "Hey, if you bleed green, you got to get the doctor to check that out." But anyway, the score was fairly close, getting near the end of the first half. Utah seemed to be shooting lights out from three-point land, and everybody kept saying they're not a three-point shooting team. Well, they were on that night, and when they weren't on, the refs were giving them a lot of calls, and Boston didn't really have enough muscle inside, I think, to handle. The Celtics went small, and that brought the score back, but then the Jazz started pounding the ball inside, and that seemed to be the end of the game. I had to go to bed about that time anyway, so it was a late game. So I did not see the second half, but I guess I did not miss much. One good thing I'm happy about was the Celtics did not trade anybody. They didn't trade their picks. They didn't trade anybody from the team. They released David Lee, which I was surprised that... not that he was going to be released because they weren't playing him, but I was surprised that he didn't fit in. I heard it's a rumor, just a rumor, and you know how rumors are, that he came in about 20 pounds overweight, and then he's learning a new system. And unless he came in and fit right in, and he's not a defensive player, he could rebound. You know, he'll get you the defensive rebounds, but not a defensive player. And he was on the short end of the stick when it came to, who was going to be most valuable. And obviously, the Celtics wanted to see their younger players develop. Amir Johnson came in, and we thought that he was going to play a little center. But he's got the power forward spot on the starting lineup. And Jay Crowder, small forward. And Jared Sullinger came off the bench and won the start at center. So Lee was the odd man out. You got to have Olynyk and the other guys coming off the bench getting some playing time. And so, therefore, he was cut. And so, Celtics bought out his contract. Now, one interesting rumor, I don't know how true it is, that the Celtics offered the Brooklyn pick to Philadelphia for Okafor. Now, that might be a deal that I might have gone for. I don't know if Philadelphia wanted someone else along with that, but Okafor for the first-round pick. Now, to me, the guy from LSU is probably the outstanding player coming out of the draft, as far as the Celtics' needs are concerned. And because I don't think they need the shooting guard from Oklahoma. because, you know, I think Hunter and the kid we got from, what's his name? Skips my mind. Young, that we got from Kentucky last year, should, you know, take care of any extra outside shooting that we're going to need. And what we need is a big board-eating rebounder who can score some points in the paint and divert some shots and make people worry when they drive the lane. We don't have that. And so, therefore, we'll have to pay. But so Okafor, I think, would have fit that spot. He's close to 7 feet tall. Good rebounder, runs the floor. Terrible foul shooter, however, but he can do the stuff inside that you need. And I don't know who backed out on that, or if that was really, you know, a legitimate potential trade. But I'd have done it if that was one on one. I think I would have gone for that. I can overlook Okafor's problems. 19-year-old kid, all kinds of money. I think if we had to get a bodyguard for him, bring his mom or dad or whatever, to babysit him, even on road trips, we do whatever it takes. There's a maturing process when you've got all that stuff going for you. And some people never, ever, ever, ever mature. I can name some names, but I won't bother. Okay, so Celtics, from here on, I don't think the Utah game is a measuring stick as to how the team's going to do the second half, the last part of the season anyway. I think that, we got a shot. We have the third best record in the Eastern Conference. I don't think we're going to drop beyond that. And also in that game, we didn't have Olynyk, who, if he's not the most powerful rebounding seven-footer, being able to stretch the floor and also put the ball on the floor and create his own shot if necessary, that didn't help. In fact, he's going to be out, what they say, 3 to 4 weeks. That's not good. But, hey, injuries are all part of the game, and so therefore, we're going to have to do our best without him. All the paper I'm rattling here is what I saw about Olynyk and his injury. I can't find it when I want it. Why is it I can never find what I want when I want it? I'm going to fire my staff. If I had the staff, I'd fire them. Since it's only me, I guess I have to hang around for a while. Anyway, that's consistency. Consistency, consistency, consistency was the problem in the first half. We probably would have had a better record in the first half if we were more consistent, especially on the offensive end. Weren't that we getting blown out in some games. Like I said, the Utah game, I think, was an exception. I don't know why that happened, but I don't see that continuing on a regular basis. But I think aside from Thomas and Crowder, we don't know from game to game what we're going to get from anybody else. But the fact that we do go 10, 11 men deep, and we brought up Jordan Mickey, who I think is going to fill the spot that Lee once filled in, maybe fill in and give us some different things as far as Olynyk is. Oh, there it is. Olynyk is going to be out longer. 3 to 4 weeks. Eek! That's not good. Not good because, for two reasons. Not good because we're going to miss him for the 3 to 4 weeks. He's going to be gone for what he brings to the table. And also, so when he comes back, it's going to take him a while to get in sync with everybody else because he's been injured since before the All-Star break. So add 3 to 4 weeks to that. That's like, 5 weeks? 6 weeks he's going to be out? Anyway, we're going to we're going to live or die on the fact that this is the guys we're going to go to war with. We've had some improved scoring, more consistent scoring from Evan Turner, you know, which is good. So we're going to see if he can keep that up and help the bench to continue to progress. Marcus Smart is a bull out there. Tough defender, hits the outside shot occasionally, and puts the ball on the floor, can create his own shot, good passer, tough defender, comes into the gym with his claws ready to go, in the mold of Casey Jones and some of the other great defenders the Celtics have had in the past. So even though I was not too keen on his pick couple of years ago, he's winning me over. 4:38 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnie Brown, on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday, talking west, except for when it's 9 degrees below zero. here virtually every Sunday, talking sports, and to get involved in the conversation, you just have to give me a call. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. I shall return. Talk some hockey. Okay, just like we promised, we're back, and we're going to go to the National Hockey League. Last night, the Lightning defeated the Penguins 4-2. Flyers 5 and the Maple Leafs 4. That was an overtime game. Senators 3 and the Red Wings 2. That was a shootout. Panthers 3 and the Jets 1. Capitals 4 and the Devils 3. Kings 2 and the Predators 1. That was overtime. Bruins 7 and the Stars 3. Blues 6 and the Coyotes 4. And the Avalanche 3 and the Oilers 2. In that Bruins game, the way it started out, looked like we were going to be on the wrong side of what was going on. At 11:59 in the first period, Elias Hemsky got his ninth goal of the year with assists from Demers and Ben, and that made the Stars 1, Bruins zip. At 13:24, Brad Marchand got his 29th goal of the year with assists from Connolly and Bergeron. At 13:24, tying the score at one point apiece. But at 15:44, Antoine Roussel got his ninth goal of the year with assists from Oduya and Eakin, making it Stars 2 and the Bruins 1. But before the period was over, at 16:28, Patrick Sharp got his 17th goal of the year with assists from Roussel and Derners, making it at the end of the first period Stars 3 and the Bruins 1. But at 13:24 of the second period, Brad Marchand, here he is again, got his 30th goal of the year on the power play with assists from Morrow and Shara. Stars 3, Bruins 2. And 35 seconds later, Kevin Miller got his fourth goal of the year with assists from Seidenberg, tying the score at 3 points apiece. 3 goals apiece. I'll get it right. And in 1908, Louis Erickson got his 21st goal of the year. He got assists from Krejci and Seidenberg. And that put the Bruins up 4-3. In the third period, at 4:50 of the third period, to be exact, David Krejci got his 14th goal of the year on the power play with assists from Krug and Bolesky. And at 7:16, Brett Connolly got his 8th goal of the year with assists from Bergeron and Marchand. Marchand is on fire. 2 goals and an assist. And at 19:37, Matt Bolesky got his 9th goal of the year on the power play with assists from Morrow and Shara. And I think I read during the week somewhere that the Brewers need to pick up their power play because it was kind of morose. There was no power in the power play. Well, they got 2 power play goals last night, so there you go. Tuukka Rask stopped 26 of the 29 shots sent his way. And I always like it when the Bruins get more shots on goal than the other team. Leitanen stopped 35 of 42 shots sent his way. Nope, Bruins 7. And the Stars 3. So there you go. Standings. I think we can almost lump the Bruins and Celtics together as far as their needs going into the remainder of the season. Consistency. Marchand and Erickson and Bergeron have been carrying the load. And let me see, where are we here? The Bruins have 70 points now on the season and trail the Florida, whatever they are, whoever they are. The Lightning got 2 points yesterday also, so they have 75. So the Bruins trail the Lightning by 5 points, And the Red Wings were right on their tail, but they lost. So we picked up 2 points on the Red Wings, and they have 7 points. They're safe. 67 points. In the Metropolitan Division, Washington, the Rangers, and the Islanders. And battling for the wild card, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, New Jersey, and Carolina. Montreal, who got off to such a great start, they're way behind, but they are not in easy contention, maybe that's what I want to say, for a wild card shot. Out west, Chicago, the world champions, are doing it again. And now they have a 3-point lead over Dallas, thanks to the Bruins. LA, in Anaheim, and San Jose are neck and neck in the Pacific. And Nashville and Colorado lead as far as wild cards are concerned. Minnesota and Arizona are not that far behind, however. So, like I said, Bruins have had problems with the power play prior to last night's game. And putting it all together on a consistent basis has not been their forte this year. And I said they might be drinking from the same water at the at the garden that the Celtics are drinking from. And I thought initially that just getting scoring enough points was going to be the major problem. They didn't seem to be able to do that on a consistent basis for the past 2 years since their championship year. And I didn't see, and here again, not knowing what young guys like Pasternak and some of the other guys were going to do. But Brad Marchand, I think he's just decided, I'm going to play hockey. I'm not going to be the chippy little rat out there. And since the Bruins aren't the big bad Bruins anymore, you know, it doesn't really, you know, I guess fit into their game to try to bang people around. People are not going to be intimidated. And so therefore, changing the style and just say, hey, every chance I get, I'm going to put the ball in the net. Seems to work out. Okay, this is probably going to be his best year ever as far as playing for the Bruins is concerned. It's 4:51 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM. Now, the question is, I got to get back before I go into all this other stuff. How far can this team go in the playoffs? I really don't know. Same thing with the Celtics. They may make the playoffs. How far can they go unless they pick up their consistency? Because the Celtics, I think, can wear down other teams and improve their record going into the playoffs. In the playoffs, unless they're consistent, getting consistent, performances. Talking about consistency, for example, we've had games where Linnick gets in high 20s, and same thing with Sellinger, and the same thing with Turner. And that makes the bench, that much more powerful. Resting the starters, and there have been games when Sellinger has gotten, 15, 20 points. But hadn't been doing that on a consistent basis. Maybe they can't do it on a consistent basis. I don't know. But anyway, they have the guns out there. Will they be gunning consistently during the playoffs? I can see them wearing teams down going into the end of the season, especially teams that aren't in contention. They're not, consultants had their forte has been defense. Now, applying the same logic to the Bruins, they have not had a mode of operation that I can stick my finger on. Their scoring has been inconsistent. Their defense has been inconsistent. Even the goaltending is, maybe that's probably because of the the lack of a good defense in front of the goaltenders. But anyway, they're going to make the playoffs. Both of them should make the playoffs. How far they go, I really can't tell. I don't think even they know. Okay, 4:53 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in the FM dial. On the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting and iTunes.com, radio and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. And this is the Sunday, February the 21st, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, just give me a call. Still not too late. Got 6 minutes more. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. Be back.
What's up? You out there fronting, faking moves, because no one understands you, right? Yeah, we know.
Yo, Sasha, you want to
do me a favor? What do you think you are? Do you think money grows on trees?
You want to sell some crack?
I do all this work for nothing? Who do you think you are?
How much you want to make?
Interested in some money? Why don't you come on and do this for
me? What do I mean? I'll show you what I mean.
Bring me something, sister, or else I'll crack your nose.
This is a life thing.
Go.
This is me and you. We brothers, man.
Covenant. You know, there's this guy that I like, but then there's this other guy.
Hear me? Never!
Get out of my class.
Hey, bro, it's Covenant.
You're always with your friends. You're always going out. You always do whatever you want.
I'm not getting it at home. Else, you know, so we got to stick with each other.
You've gone out and got pregnant?
I think I'm gay, but if my mother finds out,
she'll kill me. Stop fronting. You need some help on the down low, someone to talk to on the real.
Hey, bro,
give yourself a chance. Call 1-800-999-9999.
Covenant House.
Call now,
all right? And this is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sons of Praise Ministry, and A Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:58 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. We're going to wrap this up. Not going to be able to talk much about the Red Sox. Or the Patriots. We'll go a little golf. Northern Trust heading into the final round today. Bubba Watson he's 12 under, has a one-stroke lead over Dustin Johnson. Jason Kokrak, K-O-K-R-A-K, never heard of him. And Chez Reavy, never heard of him either, R-E-A-V-I-E. They are 11 under, one behind Bubba Watson in the Northern Trust Golf Tournament. Okay, 4:59 is the Brown Perspective on Sports Time. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll be able to do a little more talking about the Red Sox baseball season and baseball in general, perhaps. And as we get closer to the court showdown with Tom Brady case and the Flategate or whatever else you want to call it, and all the stuff concerning Peyton Manning, his past, his present, his future.